Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Long Beach, to another edition of Swoop's World right here at blogtalkradio.com. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings here in Long Beach. Our number, if you want to call in, is 917-889-7449. You can email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Once again, you want to call in tonight, that number is 917-889-7449. Sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World.
Good morning and welcome to Swoop's World. Hey, Peter.
Hey, that's weird. Good morning.
Good morning. I know that's not something we say often at all. We're used to doing our show at night. We usually have our shows every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, but we got a special show today. We're happy to have, we're going to have our guests as our guests, Michelle Mangione and Grace Slick. And we'll be talking about a new song that they've co-wrote. Proceeds are going to go to help the folks in the Gulf region where the oil spill is. You had some interesting news on something similar to that, right, Peter?
Yeah, today's LA Times on the front page. They have a whole bit about the title's called "Troubadours of Tragedy," and I just kind of skimmed through it. I didn't actually read it real close, but kind of along the idea that this is what the songwriters from, especially in New Orleans, this is what they do all the time because they're always experiencing some sort of tragedy, so they put it to a song. Whenever it happens, and so they interviewed a few people. It seems kind of an interesting article for those who might be interested in that on the LA Times Today's edition.
Oh, very cool. We'll have to take a look at that a little bit later. Last night we did our show last night, and it was pretty interesting with the president of the Teachers Association of Long Beach. And if you didn't get a chance to check that out, it's in the archives. All of our shows are archived. You can find them right on Blog Talk Radio or SwoopsWorld.com, and they're also downloadable for free on iTunes. Anything else going on these days, man?
Feeling hot today. I got to entertain the kids again and somehow make sure that they, don't explode or something.
Yeah.
Other than that, just looking forward to the show.
Yeah.
Looking forward to Michelle and Grace Slick. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be great because, we've had Michelle on and quite a few times, good friend of ours, and we're happy to do things with her on First Fridays So this is going to be interesting to actually have her and Grace on at the same time, and it'll be our first time speaking with Grace, and we're looking forward to that. And
your first time.
That's
I spoke
right.
to Grace a few years ago, met her at a dinner that my wife was running an organization, and Michelle performed in it, uh-huh. And Grace attended as a guest, and I actually was sitting at her table right across from her.
Oh,
I don't know. That was a while ago. She may not remember me, but. Very nice lady. It was
cool. You leave a lasting impression, right?
I do. Not always. It's like, we don't want to go there. Yeah. So we'll see. I have talked to her before, spoken to her before, and, it was in a big setting, lots of people. But it was fun. She had, she's very personable.
Very cool. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. The song that they wrote for that we're going to be speaking to them about is called The Edge of Madness. But prior to that, they collaborated on a piece called "What Is a Saint," and I actually had the opportunity to work on the video for that with Michelle. So what we're going to do is we're going to let you hear what they did before with "What Is a Saint," and get them on the line. And when we come back, we're going to introduce Grace Slick and Michelle Mangione.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever it
is
there.
Would you offer up your smile just for the love of it? What is a saint to you?
And that was What is a Saint, the first collaboration between Grace and Michelle. And you're listening to Swiss World on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to give us a call, the number is 917-889-7449. You can meet us on the chat line. Always follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And let us welcome our guests now. Let's see. Let's bring these up here. I think this is a little slow. Michelle, is that you?
That's me. How you doing, Swoop?
How you doing, Michelle? And Grace, how you doing?
Pretty good, Michelle. Good morning.
Hi, Grace. Are you up? Oh, you're up. I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I get up at 4.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That's way too early.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for joining us on the show. We're really excited to have you on, and we heard the song, and what a great project. Grace, how did you come about with deciding to write this?
I get all pushed out of shape about stuff, and I don't go to psychiatrists or therapists because I don't want to pay them to listen to me. I want people to pay me to listen to me. Okay, so I write lyrics. That's how I get it. That's my therapy. And so I got all pushed out of shape about the government not doing anything about the Gulf Coast, you know, just Katrina and this oil thing. And I just think, what the hell? I thought government was supposed to take care of people. And I personally think they ought to bring them home from Afghanistan because, in case anybody hasn't noticed, nobody has ever beat Afghanistan. Not Alexander the Great, not the Russians, nobody. And we need the soldiers down there to help clean that thing up. So I just started writing, and I figured we haven't heard a lot of kind of Cajun Creole type music for a while, unless you listen to Dr. John, you know, so I thought that'd be an interesting thing. And what I do is I just send lyrics, all kinds of lyrics, to Michelle, and she can sit on them, throw them out the window, use them, use one word, one line, do it. She can do whatever she wants to do with them. And sometimes she corrects them or will substitute lines or something like that, which is fine. She can do anything she wants. And this is kind of the, and she got into it really huge, getting all these people. I'm Bill Medley and Tom Dumont from No Doubt and Martha Davis from the Motels and Carrie Nunn from Berlin and Larry Hansen from Alabama and the Righteous Brothers. And, you know, it's just, it's nuts. I don't know how she got all that together, but she did, and it really works.
Wow. And Michelle, what did you think when you saw the lyrics, and what was your process after receiving them?
When I saw the lyrics, I was really, really jazzed up because I thought that they were, first of all, Grace, you've been to New Orleans. I've never been to New Orleans. So I saw the lyrics, and there was like descriptions of what it feels like, what it smells like, and what it looks like. So I'm reading the lyrics thinking, oh, shit, I'm there, you know, already. So it wasn't too difficult to get, you know, to, like, smell the incense and do, you know, and just kind of feel like I was there. So I kind of took that visual because when I write, I usually write with colors and visuals in my head, and it really helps to get the smell of the thing, you know. So I did that. And I don't know why I keep talking about smelling, but there's something, I don't know. So anyway, I just woke up.
They say that's the most powerful sense for memory is smell.
Seriously? Well,
yeah.
Cool. Well, that's good because I smell a lot.
I noticed that.
Sorry, but yeah, those who know me know that I smell a lot. Anyway, it was pretty easy to get that part of it. The weird thing about this whole project is a few days before Grace sent me those lyrics, I was coming home from a show, and I wasn't driving, of course, because I was pounding this beat on my chest. And my partner Lori looked at me and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I don't know. I just got this sort of Cajun groove going on in my head, and I've been thinking about it." And I had having no idea that Grace was going to send me these lyrics. She sends me these lyrics, and it freaked me out a little bit because I had just been doing that in the car. And so it was just, you know, it was meant to be, whatever. It's the synchronicity of all things. But then I actually started writing the music. I sent some stuff to Grace, you know, just to make sure that we were on the right track, you know, which is kind of how we do things. We don't sit in a room together in our jammies and go, okay, let's, you know, we actually just kind of either, we maybe we'll meet once or twice to get together and go, okay, are we on the right track? Yes, okay, cool. Go to our corners and finish. But I went and made some calls to some musicians. Some happened to be in town, some weren't. Some were on the road and literally sent me files, kind of worked with me through the internet and over the phone, and it was cool. I got to go and get people mobily too. I took as you know, Grace, I took my microphone and computer and
she came over one day and just dragged all this stuff, and this dude was there, and they're setting up this stuff, and then you sing into a microphone, and then she packs up her stuff and leaves. It's amazing.
Thanks.
You know.
But I will say that the coolest thing is that in calling everyone, after Grace sent me the lyrics and calling everyone, and all I had to do was ask, you know, and a lot of it has to do with everyone has a lot of respect for Grace as an artist and as a, you know, I mean, we all know she can back up her politics. I'm talking to you like you're not here, Grace, but that, you know, she can back up her politics because she freaking, like, knows the news. She knows the news. But at any rate, it was easy for people to say yes, I think, because everyone wanted to know what we can do for Louisiana. Everybody was like, what the hell can I do? And they said, oh, cool, well, this is an opportunity for me to take part for free. Everybody did it for free. So I want to send a thank you out to everyone that did that. It's cool. Now I'll shut up.
It's really cool, really cool, the wide range of people that you got to participate. Is this your first time doing anything with kind of a Zydeco or a Cajun spin to it, Michelle?
Hell yes. I did research.
Grace, what were your thoughts when you first heard the recording?
Oh, I'm always amazed at Michelle because she puts together, like, her last record, the most recent one, and she did this in a back bedroom, and it sounds better than a lot of the records we made at RCA, you know. This is in a bedroom, and the first time I listened to it, I just thought, how in God's name do you do that? And I still don't know how she does it, and I just sort of think, okay, it's the Good Witch of the West, you know, she just does that. I don't want to know about it. I wouldn't understand if you told me, though, because a lot of stuff now, like she said, the music files and everything is computer stuff. And I have an iPad, and that's it. I don't even have a cell phone. I bought one several years ago and threw it out in about 2 months because I never use it. No point. You know, I'm one of those old dudes, like all my friends are old too, and except for Michelle and Lori. But most of my friends are old, and they all have computers. So it isn't an old person thing. It's just me. I don't do machinery. You know, I play acoustic piano, acoustic guitar. Even when I was very young, I didn't want to play electric guitar. When I have an idea, I want to go over and play it right now, not after
right.
I find a tone and blah, blah, blah. Want to play it right now. So I'm amazed. Michelle's the one who can do machinery. She can do just about anything with machinery. And I just look at her and go, okay, go ahead, go right ahead on and push those buttons.
Now, I looked out here, Grace, that you sang some backup. I didn't know you were still singing. How was that?
Well, I'm not still singing is why the backups, I say backup, I can't do anything. You know, I could do like dinner, like a Rosemary Clooney deal because I'm fat and stuff. So I could do dinner theater, but I'd have to imitate, my mother was a singer. I'd have to imitate the way she sings because I yell at people. I don't do lullabies and stuff. So I figured when I was about 49, I figured, okay, that's enough of that. because you're going to look like a sap singing songs that you ought to be singing when you're 25. So, you know, because people want you to sing what you're known for. And what I'm known for is stuff that came out of me when I was 25. But I don't feel that way. You change. And but what I'm doing now is art. So that is a more age-appropriate outlet.
Yeah, and you've been doing quite art for a long time. And for those of you who don't know, you can go to areaarts.com and see a lot of Grace's work. How often is it based on inspiration, or do you figure you got to get out there and paint something every day, or how does that work for you?
No, I do it at my own pace, and I use acrylic, which is very fast, so I can put out a lot of stuff. I've got hundreds and hundreds of things. And my agent will suggest some things because that's his business, is to sell stuff. So he says, we need more white rabbits. Okay, fine. I know how to draw a white rabbit by now. Or we need more pandas, or we need more Jim Morrison, or we need. So I do about 50% of what he suggests and about 50% of what I want to do.
Right.
Well, now that the song is finished, and we'll be listening to it soon, where are you guys going with this? What's next on the agenda?
Michelle, you're the the next person.
I take it to the next. Actually, we've been doing a huge, what we're doing right now, we are talking with you guys on the radio and trying to spread the word, and pretty much that's what we're doing, and we're asking anyone who the deal is that you can download the song at GrammyMuseum.com and
.org.
For $1.org. God, I keep saying .com. Thank you. I thought I was the one that was going to screw that one. I mean, you were the one that was going to screw that one.
It sounds like you are tech savvy, right?
Yeah.
GrammyMuseum.
I don't
Grammy
do computers, but I know the jive. I know.
GrammyMuseum.org.
I don't want to do anything with stupid names like Twitter and blog. Come on. Can't you come up with a better name than that? I'd be embarrassed to do that. Okay,
oh,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michelle.
Okay.
My
so
face.
On MySpace. On GrammyMuseum.org, and what the deal is that for $1.49, you can go download the song, and it's only from the Grammy Museum, and the money goes to the Greater New Orleans Foundation Gulf Coast Oil Spill Fund. Can you say that?
Yeah.
And to actually, basically what we're trying to do is also to Music Cares. And both of those organizations we did a lot of research on, and I really want people to understand that, because I'm one of those people that I want to know that my money when I donate something is going where it's supposed to go and getting there as quickly as possible. And so we did a lot of research to find two organizations, one for the musicians and one for the fishermen and their families, so that the money would go where it was supposed to and get there actually into the hands of the people quickly. So that's why we chose these two foundations. And you know, for $1.49, if you can, please go and download the song. And we're trying to just, at this point, get everybody we know on board and like that there.
Like that there.
We love
it. Yeah, they say the thing is capped now. But they're also saying really creepy stuff like, we can't find where the oil is. And what are you going to do, drag the floor of the Gulf of Mexico? I mean, come on. Where's that stuff going? And who's going to clean up all the stuff that has already ruined the coastline?
Right.
And why didn't BP come out real fast with money for the fishermen is my thing. Like, they are really struggling. You know?
What about with the we're moving into the hurricane season now too, so
who knows
what effect that'll have on all.
Yeah, and New Orleans and Louisiana, it's such a beautiful area, and the great music and great stuff that comes out of there, and they're just being hammered. You know, it's stunning how it just keeps either nature or man is screwing it up down there. And we're supposed to, government's supposed to help its people first. I mean, all we do is throw money at wars, and they're stupid wars, and they're wars because we want your oil. Come on, let's get the windmills going. Let's get the electric cars going. And they knew about this years ago. I wrote a song called Black Gold in 1970 bitching about this stuff. So, you know, they've known about it forever. And even a Republican, President Eisenhower, said, look out for the military-industrial complex. That's a Republican saying that. So, and this is in the 50s, he said that. And nobody pays any attention. And everybody says they showed, I think it was on CNN, a series of presidents, Republican and Democrat. Well, we're going to clean this up, this oil problem, blah, blah, blah. Every one of them said it, and then nobody does anything. It's stunning.
It seems to be happening a lot with politics. You get a lot of people saying they're going to do stuff, and nothing happens. We got a caller on the line. You guys want to take a call?
Sure.
Caller, you're on Swoops World. Hello, calling from the 949.
He passed out.
All right, we'll move along. Well, you know what? Let's give everybody a chance to hear this. Let's play The Edge of Madness, and we'll come back and talk about it afterwards.
All right.
Thanks.
And this is The Edge of Madness with Michelle Mangione and Grace Slick.
Who will hear our story? Who will see this hell? Who will bring us justice? Tell me, who will? At a railroad station in Baton Rouge, there's a train to Christmas City. Urban streets keep calling him back to a Cajun girl so pretty. Old men sit outside, the bars tell stories they can't forget. Songs fly up to the evening stars on distant planets. Now he sees the sorrow and the anger of the crowd. She says, rise up for tomorrow. Stand together, cry out loud. Who will hear our story? Who will see this hell? Who will bring us justice? Tell me, who will soothe the sadness? Help us heal ourselves on the edge of madness. Tell me, who will? Flowers rot on balconies and sunsets in the air. People dance to the Creole beat. There's magic everywhere. Can't you almost hear the blue sound down at
And that was The Edge of Madness, written by Grace Lick and Michelle Mangione. And you're listening to Swoops World Radio on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to give us a call, it's 917-889-7449. You can reach us on our chat line. Chat line is open. You can always follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Grace and Michelle, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's mostly Michelle. She's the ruler of the roost on this one.
I've never
Michelle,
been
you
called that before. That's cool.
Michelle, are you playing any drums on that? Is that all?
I am. I'm actually playing the drum set on that. And just as a disclaimer for the Zydeco fans out there, this is basically a tribute musically to the Zydeco. You know, there's a lot of people playing on this song, so it's not really a traditional Zydeco song. It's more of a tribute to traditional Zydeco. And because I love, like, I was listening to Queen Ida, who I know from the Santa Monica Pier years ago. I don't know if any of you know of Queen Ida, but
yeah,
nice Zydeco singer, accordion player, cool, just cool energy. Anyway, that's my disclaimer.
You sound like you have the legal department involved there, Michelle.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that would be in perpetuity throughout the universe.
Yeah, no, that's just a way of backing out of it in case anybody says, that's not Zydeco.
Exactly.
I'm with the Zydeco band. That's bull poop, you know. And you can just back your ass out of that one.
All right, we're going to try to take another caller right here. All right, call your own Toots World.
Hey, this is Mark Hawkins calling.
Mark,
hey, nice
how you doing,
name.
Buddy?
One of
hey,
the,
Mark, how are you?
One of the big four.
One of the big...
Mark, I wish.
No,
Mark Hawkins and Leland Stanford and Giannini and somebody else were the big four of California, developing California.
Yeah, and I'm still one of the big four.
All right, go ahead on, boy.
Anyway, talk about two gorgeous people here, and I'm not talking about you, Peter, and I'm not talking about you, Swoop.
Man, I
have met Michelle, and I just love her music. And I've got to tell you before we start talking politically here. I'm 55 years old, and I can still remember to this day two songs that I remember the first time that I heard them. One was Like a Rolling Stone, and the other one was White Rabbit. And I got to tell you, Grace, that last line in that song is one of the most powerful vocal belts in the history of music.
I was born for rock and roll because I am basically not a great singer, but boy, am I loud!
Well, it was it and I can remember my parents going, "Oh my," you know. But
yeah,
it was
mine.
I'm sure, but it really did. It's definitely a pleasure to be on today. What a wonderful song. That Zydeco, I spent my share of time down in New Orleans, and I'm a huge Zydeco fan. I'm not a traditional Zydeco fan. I love Zachary Richard and the like, and spent many
cool.
times down at the Jazz Fest down there.
Oh, yeah.
But, oh, my goodness, what a continuing, you know, just one thing after another. And I'm wondering... first of all, before I forget, who's the male singing at the end of the song?
That's Bill Medley.
No, that's Bill.
The Righteous Brothers.
I should have known that, but I just I've heard the song three times now, and I did download it, but I've been a little busy and I don't have music on all the time. So let's get to politics. the Haiti thing happened. That was absolutely terrible, and everybody rose to the occasion, and everybody donated. It seems to me that that we're a lot of times we're just not taking enough care of our own. The people down in the Gulf are just are hurting, and I don't know. I haven't really seen, or I haven't heard. Maybe it's just been I've been busy. I was out for a couple of months. I really hadn't seen too much of the kind of thing that you two are doing right now, in rising up to help the people down there.
Yeah, I don't quite understand it myself, because apparently we have to do a lot more because the government isn't. And God bless Obama. He just walked into so much doo-doo when he got elected president that I don't know how he's going to be able to take care of anything, because everything is all screwed up. I'm talking about, you know, everything, health care and wars and disasters and just financial stuff. You know, it's just overwhelming. I mean, I'm surprised the guy isn't shooting heroin, and maybe he is. I don't know. Just to be able to deal with it, you know. So we have to kind of step in there and help various situations, because nobody else is. And what can you do? What are your arts? What are your talents? And you can always lend your talent, as long as you find out. Like Haiti is an example. I was going to say, as long as you find out where that money's going. And Haiti is still a mess, because it's all screwed up as far as where the money goes, where it gets stopped, who's shipping stuff in, why is it staying at the port, you know, all that kind of stuff. It takes organization. And I don't know why people don't feed the information into a computer. In other words, computers can organize a lot of stuff for you because there are certain computers where you feed the information in, what you need, and it can say, yeah, but you can't. You have to have 600 of these before you put that, and so forth. And because everything is so badly, too many cooks ruin the soup, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that now I don't know how true this is, because I don't have my hands physically in it. However, it has been come to my attention that when in Haiti, for instance, we make pledges, countries make pledges to donate. We may say we've collected $6 billion, but what I've been told thus far is the only people that have come through on their pledge to Haiti is Brazil. Now, I don't know if that's true, because I literally physically can't see the money changing hands, but there someone who actually told me, who does this for a living, who donates and has been to Haiti. I know two people, my sister for one, and a friend of mine who is a doctor who just got back from Haiti, and people are living in tents. It's a sea of tents, and the money has not been. Now, that's also another, a different government. But in terms of getting the money to the people, which is one of the reasons why with this fund, we had to make sure that the money was going directly. Now, unless you walk down there with a wad of cash and hand it to the people yourself, it's really hard. It's really difficult. But there's a lot of corruption with, you know, with every government.
Well, I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Michelle, that's what we got to do next, is just we'll raise money and then walk down there with a wad of cash and start handing out to the right people.
If I wouldn't get thrown in jail, I swear to God, Grace, I thought about that. If I wouldn't get thrown in jail for bailing on taxes, I would have that. I would tell people, you know, I would go on the street and collect the money, put it in my pocket, take a flight over there, and do it myself. And unfortunately, I wish we could do that without getting busted. You can't even put change in a parking meter for other people. Did you hear about the guy that got busted for doing that?
He was riding his bicycle around.
Yeah, he was riding his bicycle around because people were getting too many tickets. So he was the Good Samaritan. He was riding his bicycle around. I think it was like Santa Barbara or something. Yeah. And he
yeah,
was putting change
that.
In people's meters. He wasn't allowed to do it. He got busted for doing it. And
oh, we're
so,
getting
yeah.
so politically correct that everybody's ass is sewed up.
Come on.
Good grief. You know when you're talking, Michelle, you said about the money that was actually getting through. Well, one of the things I heard about, you know, the pledges. One of the things I heard was when a lot of these countries make pledges, they're including the cost of sending a few people over there in that cost. So the actual cash in hand that the people need sometimes it's not even available because it's not cash. It's in kind, yeah. So, and then they were saying that a lot of the money wasn't getting there because it was getting sifted off, but through corruption also. So, it's a lot of problems when you try to help out people like that and actually get the things that people need in the hands of the people that need it.
Yeah, and that turns a lot of people off. Who say, well, I don't even want to help out because I know my money's not even going to get there.
Yeah,
and messed up this.
Hey, Mark, thanks for calling in. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
Well, yeah. How long do you have?
You got to play nice and share with others, Mark.
Everybody have a great day.
Thanks
so
Mark.
Much for putting,
thanks for calling
thanks for,
in.
Thanks for putting me on.
Absolutely, Mark. And for those of you who don't know, Mark is a local business a place called Ink Peace, and you've heard us talk about it on the show, Ink Peace, you're the friend of the show. They're inside the coffee house, and they do a lot of good things with, what do you call it, toner cartridges and stuff like that. And he does a lot of things with the schools in the area. But you can go there and get environmentally responsible ink and toner cartridges for your printers at up to 30 to 70% less than the major supply store. So, you know, Mark, he's in the community. He helps out in the community. So I encourage you, anybody in the area here, to go ahead and check him out and at least walk in there and say hi.
Some fax machines are set up, and I've got one, set up so that when you run out of black ink cartridge, you have to get all the other colors in order for it to work. Now, so the ink cartridge people are hooked up with the people who produce the fax machine. Because I just ran out of black ink, sent my daughter out because I broke my arm, so I'm sitting around a fat blob of meat. I sent my daughter out to get cartridges. She went out and got a black ink, came in, put it in, still wouldn't work. Had to go back and get the rest of the colors. I mean, to make the fax wouldn't even work without the new rest of the colors. Unbelievable. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just a little teeny screw job, you know?
Teeny screw job.
Now, Grace, we know you're politically active. Does this go back to the time you went to the White House?
Yeah, probably. The airplane was kind of a smorgasbord. Jack and Yorma were blues. Paul's outer space. I'm kind of sarcastic political. Marty was love song political. So, you know, you get a smorgasbord of stuff. The White House, I was actually invited to the White House because Trisha Nixon went to the same dumb college I did. I just wanted to see New York. I didn't want to learn anything. So I went to a really easy finishing school. That's where you learn how to put the fork in the right place when you're setting a table and you go to Princeton, try to get a Princeton boy for a husband. Well, the Princeton boys, not the older guys, the kids kicked me out because me and my friend, they said, they're dirty girls from California. And we said, uh-huh, that's right. And so my idea of hell is marrying a Princeton boy. God damn, talk about tight ass. So, you know, I went to this stupid finishing school, and apparently Trisha Nixon went there 10 years later. So what she did, because it was so small, it was right in the middle of New York. It was so small, she sent invitations to the White House to all the alumni of Finch College. So my name, when I went there, was Grace Wing. That doesn't mean anything to anybody. So I got this invitation in the mail, and I called Abby Hoffman, said, guess what, we're going to the White House. So we tried to dress him regular, you know, instead of curly hair. So we tried to slick his hair back. He looked like a hitman for the mafia when we got through with him. So he and I were standing in line waiting to go in with the invitation. Security comes up to me and says, I'm sorry, you can't go in. Apparently they recognize me. I said, oh, but I have an invitation. Yeah, but you're on the security list as somebody who can't come in because of the political lyrics in our songs. So I was fully intended to dump a bunch of acid into Richard Nixon's teacup because I know, having gone to Finch College, I know what formal teas are like. You don't sit down, you stand. There are your honored friends. One pours tea at one end, one pours coffee at the other end with these big silver urns and all that kind of stuff. But entertainers gesture a lot. So I figured standing up, meet Richard Nixon, and I had a long fingernail for cocaine. And I had a whole bunch of acid in my pocket, and I was just going to put the acid in the fingernail and gesture, you know, over his teacup, be talking about something that's flamboyant. And about 45 minutes after that, he would have been wandering around being a Looney Tune. And just the idea of that, even if we didn't see it, even if they ushered us out early, just the idea was marvelous. However, he got himself out because he screwed himself by, you know, not being a very good crook. And apparently he used to wander around, talk to the pictures in the White House anyway. Probably if he'd taken acid, nobody would have noticed. The guy was Looney Tunes anyway. So, no, I never did get in. I was invited, but I didn't get in because I'm on the, you know, FBI's list or some damn thing.
Most wanted list.
Yeah.
Well, you got close to being ever did, right?
Well, I wasn't most wanted. I was down there around 20, you know, number 25 rather than top 10.
Oh, gosh. You know, the one question that's been on my mind since you've come on is, why in the world do you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I don't know, but my body feels, okay, now I'm awake, everything's cool, I'm getting up, I'm alert. I don't have that thing where you lie around and be groggy. I'm awake at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I feel better at 4 o'clock in the morning than I do for all the rest of the day. It just gets progressively worse by night. By night, I lie down and I think, oh, thank God. So I don't know why that is. That's just the way I'm built. It's weird. It's called the circadian rhythms, and people have different rhythms. Some people are morning people. Some people are night people. I'm apparently a morning guy. But the way you get around that, being a rock and roll person, is you sleep in the middle of the day. So it's a twofer. You know, you get 2 days for one, basically.
Yeah, see, for me, I need to just stay up all night to get to 4 o'clock. Waking up at 4 o'clock, it's just, that doesn't work.
Nothing about that sounds good.
Well, now, so I'm wondering, do you guys have any more collaborations in the works?
Probably will.
Yeah, I still have a bunch more lyrics sitting here that are just waiting to be, to have music.
And I've got
to them.
I've got 25 more pages sitting here.
The thing is,
I broke my arm in about 3 places, so I couldn't do much of anything except sit here and write lyrics, so I did.
Well, Lori told me, Grace, that you you spend most of your time watching the news, and that's where you get a lot of your inspiration from, huh?
Yeah, I have CNN on a lot now. I don't know. You can believe some of what CNN says about as much as you can believe what the Inquirer says, because it gets mashed. The real deal gets mashed by politically correct. There's a guy on CNN, and I forget what his name is, but he's like a curmudgeon type dude. And I usually agree with him. He's usually annoyed at everything. And he's about the only one on there that I listen to, and I think he's probably telling the right stuff because he's mad. If you're just kind of like, God bless Wolf Blitzer, but he just kind of talks about everything like he's talking about wallpaper, you know? It's just kind of, he doesn't get all pushed out of shape. There isn't anybody home, kind of. And that, journalists say, well, that's the way you're supposed to be. Well, I want to hear a human being. I don't want to hear, you know, if you want to be that bland, let a robot do it. So I watch CNN so I can find out if, you know, New Jersey just fell into the Atlantic Ocean or anything that's important that I ought to know. But it fascinates me. That's the thing about death. Nobody wants to die. I don't want to die because I don't want to miss this soap opera that keeps going on. I've never watched soap operas on TV. There's one going on in real time, folks. So that's the one I think is fascinating. Annoying, but fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Michelle, a lot of your lyrics, a lot of your songs come from, they seem a lot like a lot of personal experiences and stuff like that. What is it like when you're actually trying to incorporate somebody else's thoughts into a song?
You know, actually, I don't do a lot of collaborating with people. I've written with a couple other people. But when it's all there, and in a weird, strange way, and I mean this as a compliment, Grace, I kind of get, like, the lyrics that Grace writes, I get, and it's not, like, this particular song is pretty much Here It Is, you know. There's a lot more obscure stuff, but I get the way that, I think probably it's from doing crossword puzzles or something, I kind of get the way that her brain works. I don't have to think about, oh, what did she mean here, you know. It's pretty much there. It's not, you know, so it's not difficult to see what's going on. And I also agree with a lot of the stuff that's going on in the lyrics that she's writing. It's a no-brainer to me. It's like, oh, duh, this makes sense. Let's put it in, you know. Let's make it work. And finding the right vibe to me is what's it doesn't take work. It's just like I said, it's picturing, smelling, doing all that stuff. you know, to make it happen. You know, just to make it happen and to make it so that other people will feel the same way, will actually like to listen to the music part of it and not just like to hear the lyrical part of it. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it just out of my head.
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
Hey, I'm looking at your cartoon picture on the website here, which is cool because I feel like I'm like talking to you guys personally, which makes it easier sometimes to do an interview. It's very cool. If anybody hasn't seen it, go to the website, the Blog Talk Radio website. It's pretty cool.
Thank you. That was a gift.
Yeah.
Well, we had a question here from the chat line. Is Michelle going to be at First Fridays next week?
She is not, because I'm going to be opening for a singer named Lisa Loeb, who at the Brixton in Redondo Beach, South Bay, Brixton, South Bay. I will be there, but we will be back, I think, next month for First Fridays at the Mirage.
I love the way you referred to yourself in the third person there.
Uh-oh.
Grace
can be referring to herself in the third person now.
I'm going to start doing that more. That's kind of fun. Then you can kind of say things that you normally wouldn't say, right?
Kind of a stripper.
They got throwing a royal we occasionally, too.
Yeah.
We will. We will be fine.
Yeah. Cool.
That's why I said that. Grace, what is the near future hold for Grace?
Painting, mainly, because that's what I do. So it's as soon as my arm is able to hold, the left arm is able to hold the canvas, because I don't stand and paint because I got goofy, screwed up feet. So I sit and paint. I hold the canvas. But the arm is not, I have to go through rehab and get the arm back into shape so it can hold a canvas. So that's what happens when the arm gets back in shape. Until the arm gets back in shape, I'm going to be hammering Michelle with more lyrics.
Now, speaking of the arm being in shape, I just need to say, because I have actually two of two pieces of Grace's art in my living room. And if anybody wants to see some really cool stuff, not just that it's cool, it's that she works with so many, I'm talking about you like you're not here now, like I talked about myself like I'm not. She does different mediums. And so there's, you know, acrylics, and what's the black scratch thing that you do called?
Scratchboard, yeah.
Scratchboard.
That's an interesting one. It looks like a blackboard. And anything you carve, like with a safety pin or whatever you want to use, anything you carve into it turns white. So it is the reverse of what you normally do, which is pencil or pen, which is black, on white. That's the usual deal. But this is the reverse. So everything you are used to doing when you draw a face or what a flower or anything, you have to reverse it. But my whole life has been asked backwards anyway, so it's I can do that real well.
Right?
Yeah. So go to areaarts.com and see Grace's ass backwards painting.
Yeah.
Well, you can also see one of Grace's paintings on your first CD, right, Michelle?
Yes, the cover. I chose a painting that she had already done because it was perfect for the vibe of the CD.
Yeah, it sort of looks like Michelle, too.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. Hey, we have another caller. We're going to bring them on. Caller, you're on Suits World.
Thanks. My name is Christy. And, Michelle, what is it saying to you? The video was fantastic. And I was just curious with this new song if there was going to be a video coming.
Well, thank you, Christy. We have an idea, and we're actually getting ready to put it out there. We haven't done it yet, but the idea is in my head. So I think probably within the next couple of weeks, well, yes, I think we will.
That would
yeah,
be great to
this,
get the word out there.
This deal is kind of ongoing because just because they cap one of the pipes does not mean things are taken care of down there. So this is an ongoing deal.
Great. We'll look forward to it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a while.
The What is the Saint video I was lucky enough to participate in. And, that was a whirlwind day.
Wait till you hear about this one.
Wait,
I'll be calling you. What's that?
I'll be happy to be involved. What did we do? Three or four locations that day, and we went quite a few hours. But I you don't care what I feel, but I was really impressed with the way it turned out.
Well, and here's the thing: is that that video was done with no budget because we had no budget, and that's the beauty of having no budget is you got to think. And I think that having to think and be resourceful and scrappy as much as we possibly could, we had a great group of people that were really resourceful and tenacious. And so, and with this project as well, with The Edge of Madness, we didn't have a budget, and we wanted to do it. Everybody donated their time, their talent, their even an attorney, if you can believe that, donated his time to help us, you know, make sure that we did this right. And that floored me. I didn't thank the musicians, but holy shit, an attorney. So, you know, it's like that we can do this, that the people can do this. You know, we can do this from our homes with no budget so that we can, you know, it's a community effort. I don't even know what the original question was that you just asked me, but it's a community effort.
Grace, back in your early recording days, you weren't making music videos, right? This is something fairly recent.
Well, I'm so old, I certainly wasn't making videos. I don't know about Michelle. And that's why we could be all ugly and stuff. You know, we didn't have to look like Britney Spears and have a lot of dancing boys in the background and change your outfit every 5 minutes. You just got up there and sang, you know. And because we were taking so many drugs, they were lucky if we even showed up. So, you know, it was was a little easier in, quote, my day, unquote, because all you had to do was whatever it was your job was. That's you play guitar, you play drums, and you show up. And because I'm a terrible drunk, people would pray that I wouldn't show up occasionally.
Now, Keith, Peter,
Fred,
anybody, Mayday, Mayday. Before we leave, can I name off some of the people that were involved just because I have a list here and I would like to do that?
absolutely, Michelle. But first, Peter had a question on your list that you're involved.
Yes.
In parentheses, it kind of describes, you know, where they're from, and then next to it, it says what they played. And the very bottom one, can you explain that one? Pauline Carbonell, Thighs?
Oh, my God, yes. We had a drummer named Nicole Falzoni who was over, and we were doing the second line part in the middle. I had, like, five drummers at my house at one time. And Nicole was here, and she's amazing. And she started doing this ham bone thing on her chest and her legs, and I said, you know what, you're going to have to maybe drop your pants because your jeans are getting in the way of that really cool slap sound. So she starts to take her pants off. Of course, there's a couple people in the room that start to leave the room, and instead there was a girl in the room that had shorts on. And so we just decided, instead of freaking everybody out, that we would have her sit in front of Nicole. And Nicole played this amazing ham bone thing, which I probably will feature in the video more because you can't really hear it on the track. But and that was Pauline Carbonell.
I knew there was a story there.
Thighs were played.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing that you were talking about, Michelle, is when you don't have any money, which is what that ham bone thing comes from.
Improvisation.
Is having no money. The only thing
exactly.
you can play is whatever's on you. You know, whistling and funky little instruments that come out of the really good folk music are because people don't have any money. They can't go buy a Stradivarius and get on with that. They just play your thigh. So
there's
a
guy
really
in New
example.
Orleans.
Yeah, that's a good example of the stuff you were talking about, which is when you don't have any money, you got to think.
Yeah, right. And it's more fun that way. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how fun it is to have a very large budget and to have people, you know, but like to have people that do stuff for you, like when you ask to, you know, wipe your ass. I don't know what that feels like, but to have like to have to really think and go, oh, shit, we've got to find, like, there's a guy in New Orleans. I can't remember his name. I wish I could, but he's on YouTube and he plays guitar. He's this old dude that sits in the street. He plays his guitar, and he, with his mouth, has a spoon, and he plays slide. While he's playing the guitar with his hands, with his mouth, he's playing slide up on the frets of the guitar. And it's amazing, and it's cool, and he just was like, probably didn't think he couldn't. You know, nobody told him he couldn't, so he did
it. Yeah.
So anyway,
that's good stuff. I love it when it gets funky. I've played in places where they didn't have a microphone, so that's where probably the power voice comes from, and that's before I was with any band. I was just playing acoustic with my husband, my brother-in-law at the time. So I played anything funky where they don't even have a microphone, all the way up to playing with the London Symphony Orchestra. And they're both good. It is great to be able to have the London Symphony Orchestra. I didn't need it, but RCA was willing to pay for it. And I thought, yeah, you go ahead, RCA, you pay for that. And so, you know, once you prove you can get the asses in the seats, they start throwing money at you. But before that, you're paying your dues, and you're lucky to have a microphone. Or not.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Michelle, we're gonna let you go through that list real quick. Can you take one more caller?
Sure.
Okay. Caller from the 714, you're on with Swoop World.
Hi, this is Joanne and Brea. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi, Joanne and Brea.
Love the track. love that you guys are willing to lend your time to a fabulous cause. They've been doing research on the Valdez spill, and they say it can take two generations, up to 50 years, before areas recover both emotionally and the wildlife. So you're right, this cause needs to keep going and keep going. And speaking of keep going, Grace, it was so good to hear you again. Did you get a bug? You going to do some more?
No, I don't care for old people doing rock and roll. I think it's kind of weird.
Okay.
It, that's just me, though. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think if the audiences want to show up and the 70-year-old dudes want to do rock and roll, go ahead on. It just makes me feel weird, though. So,
all right,
no,
but
I'm not
it was
doing
good
that.
To hear you. So if you get if you want to contribute to more good causes, I'm behind you.
Well, it might be fun to, except Michelle's a lot faster than I am. I have to practice and practice and practice until I know it backwards and forwards. But I'd love to sing like harmonies, you know, or something at some point, but not on any songs that talk about I can't get no satisfaction when I have at least $30 million in the bank. You know, it's I would think it'd be hard to sing songs that no longer apply to who you are. So I don't usually do that. But Michelle's songs aren't really age-related, so her stuff is a little better.
She
is fabulous. I'm sneaking in. I'm trying to sneak in doing harmonies here.
Yeah, we wouldn't want you to have to rely on the Medicare system. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I already do. And Medicare, because of this arm thing or whatever, Medicare, and I thought it was the weirdest thing that happened. This hospital, after I broke my arm, hospital calls up and says, which is your primary thing? Is that AFTRA or Medicare? And I said, why? What's happening? She said, well, they're both saying that they should pay. You're kidding. They're fighting over paying? The system is so screwed up that AFTRA and Medicare are fighting over paying something.
That shows you how
special
you are.
You guys. Just send the money, would you?
Right on. Great job, Michelle.
Well, thanks, Joanne.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
all right, Michelle, tell us who else is on that song with you there.
Okay, I especially wanted to thank Martha Davis and Terry Nunn, who were so workable, and they sang backup. Billy Zoom played baritone. Tom Dumont from No Doubt, Bill Medley, Kid Ramos from the Fabulous Thunderbirds, Jesse Cuevas, Dusty Watson, Larry Hansen, Melissa and Maggie Cannell from the Heaters in L.A. I just love them. Nicole Falzoni, Stephen Hodges, Steve Sost, who is my partner in crime, co-produced and bass and vocals and all sorts of shit. Angela Riggio, who you can hear that at the end of the song, you can hear this great background wailing. And Tom Cole, guitar, Eric Brenton, Greg Brown, Matt Brooks, Kelly Fitzgerald sang, beautiful backgrounds. Jerome and Petra from the Netherlands, 12-year-old drummer from the Netherlands, and his mother helped playing drums and percussion. Jesse Sos, Pauline Carbonell, Lynn Earls, Mix, Dave Locke, Marnie Hansen, Lynn Mangione, Belinda Thomas, and Premazon, Ken Settleson, Paula Sost and Lori Cerasoli. All of those people literally donated like time and tracks and all sorts of things. So thank you so much.
It's fabulous, and we really enjoy the song, and we really appreciate you guys coming on for us and being able to help you promote it. Grace, I have one last question for you, and it goes back years and years ago. I picked up an Airplane album cover. One person had caught my eye, and he seemed so interesting, and I always wanted to know what was Papa John Creech about?
Oh, he plays violin, and he can play beautiful kind of romantic stuff. He can play anything on that violin, and he looked older than he actually was because he had a real bad back. So he stood funny, which made him look older. But he played with us on a number of tours. and a good violin player. He could get real funky, or he could play really beautiful stuff. Great man.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I he looks considerably older than the rest of you, and I thought he was older than all of you.
Yeah, he was a little older than us, but not by as much as he looks.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, you know, thanks a lot. Really appreciate you coming on the show, and let us know anytime we can help you all out at anything. And Grace, keep up the good artwork, and keep writing those lyrics. And Michelle, we'll see you around town as always. So thanks a lot for coming on Swoops World. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for the support.
Yeah.
It was our pleasure.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come on back and talk a little bit more and wrap it up. So we'll be right back, and thank you for listening to Swoops World on Blog Talk Radio. On this week's Friends of Swoops World segment, we spotlight two local businesses, Alfred's English Gardens and Richco Gates. Kathy Alford of Alfred's English Gardens was recently chosen by the City of Long Beach Water Department to help educate homeowners about alternative low-water garden options. Visit the website and click on eSmart Gardens for case studies and photo galleries of gorgeous gardens in Long Beach. Go to www.kathyalford.com. Richco Gates. Richco is a local builder that specializes in locally handcrafted outdoor woodwork built specifically for each client. Richco believes in doing a great job and having fun in the process. He builds gates in a variety of styles. Check out the photo gallery at richcogates.com for more information. If you'd like to become a friend of Swoops World and have your business mentioned on our air, send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. And back to our guests right after this. And this is the Swoops World on blogtalkradio.com, and what a pleasure to have Grace and Michelle on the show, and really to be able to support this song, The Edge of Madness. And you know what? You support them and support the song. The song you can pick up for $1.49 at the Grammy Museum website, and it goes to a really great cause. You can see Grace's artwork on areaarts.com. Which is very cool. It's artwork from a number of people there, and you can go to their page and see what's going on there. And you can always check out what's happening with Michelle at michellemangione.com. So definitely check those out. We were happy to bounce back and be here in the morning, I think.
More or less. A little rough in the beginning there,
but,
for sure.
They made it fun and great for us, and we really it was a good time and very special for us. And so we thank you all for listening in for that. Our next show is next Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, the usual time, 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night, and we really enjoyed having everybody on tonight or today. Ooh,
right.
And we have the food review guys back next week, right?
That's right.
So we'll have Chris and Taylor back next Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. What we're going to do is we're gonna let you hear The Edge of Madness one more time, and we're going to wrap this up. Thanks for listening to Swoops World on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to give us a call anytime when we're on the air, it's 917-889-7449. You can always send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and thank you all for listening in. I really appreciate it.
Who will hear our story? Who will see this hell? Who will bring us justice? Tell me, who will? At a railroad station in Baton Rouge, there's a train to Crescent City. Urban streets keep calling him back to a Cajun girl so pretty. Old men sit outside. Try up to the evening stars on distant clouds. at the fatal door.